Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. I'm your host, I'm Darian Marshall, and today I have another fabulous guest on my show. I was missing for the past couple of weeks. I had some other projects I had to do, and I've been working on my website. It's nothing up there now. The one that I had before highlighted both me and my best friend and business partner, Darius. But now that I'm doing everything solo, I figured we needed to change all that stuff around. But my guest today is Joe Suniga, and he is author of this book called Deborah Lefave, A Crown of Beauty for Ashes, which is a biography and the life of Deborah Jean Beasley. And I really can't wait to get into this because I remember hearing about this lady and the situation she was involved in, but at least now we have somebody who can tell us all the details and tell us the truth and not the rumors I've heard and all of that. So I'm excited about it. So let's get right into it. Joe, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for inviting me. It's an honor.
I really appreciate it because I know you writers are really busy doing all kinds of things. Before we get into the meat of everything, who really is Deborah Lefave? What was her situation and what was the story?
Well, she was the beautiful blonde, blue-eyed teacher that had sex with her middle school student about a little over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that everybody remembers that story. Well, a lot of people remember that story. But, you know, I wrote the book because, you know, she gave me her story. And it's the untold story, in other words, because I don't, you know, everybody remembers the situation and for what they've seen in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And this book pretty much tells everything about her life since childhood, since, you know, what her state of mind was leading up to the incident. So it's very informative, and I think it's gonna pretty much, you know, give a lot of detail into, you know, what she went through and stuff like that. So it's a great read.
Wow. So how did you actually meet her? Did you guys work together? Or she the same job?
She actually, well, it's funny because I used to know her sister when we were kids. Her older sister went to school with me. And and then after the incident that she had with the student, she started working with my sister at a community health center, and that's where, you know, they became good friends, and that's when I got to meet her, so we would go, when I would go have lunch with my sister, stuff like that, she would come along, and we became really good friends, and that was about 10 years ago.
Wow.
And then yeah, and then we got really close in 2015 after my mom passed away.
Mm.
So, yeah, my mom passed away on New Year's of 2015.
Oh, wow.
And so she called to give us her condolences, and she was there for us when mom went, and, you know, she was a good friend, so we became really close.
See, that's the part we don't hear, you know, that she's a real human being.
Yeah, she's a real human being. She actually has a really good heart. She's a real good person. If you were to get to meet her, you would fall in love with her because, you know, she's just a nice person overall.
Oh, wow. I'm sure everybody was talking about this when this was out in the papers, on the radio. What made you actually want to write about her or share her story with people?
Well, we were, you know, as we started hanging out a lot last year, you know, it came up, the conversation just came up, and I told her, I was like, why didn't you ever share your complete story with everyone so people can know who you are and what you're about?
Mm-hmm.
Because what everybody knows is what they see on the news And so she received a lot of hate behind that. And she, well, she said that, you know, first of all, she didn't really have the desire to do it. She never thought about it. And, you know, secondly, she really couldn't, even if she wanted to, because she's not allowed to profit from her story, which was part of her agreement with the law.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, but, you know, anybody else could write a story about me. And she's, you know, that's when, well, I was like, what, did you share with anybody? She's like, no, I haven't shared my story with anybody. A lot of people in the media approached her, and she never did share her story with anybody. But, you know, after just hanging out and talking, and she was like, well, if you decide to do a book or something, I'll give you my story.
Wow, she must really trust you. That's nice.
Yeah, she entrusted me with her story, and it's real personal, so there's a lot of personal stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, just, you know, the only thing that I ask is that you give a portion of the sales to charity, you know, for the book to do some good to come out of it.
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and, you know, I definitely agree to that, so, you know, and I believe, you know, that people, you know, you see certain one side of a story. There's always more to a story, in other words.
Yes, it is. You are so right.
Yeah, and just like it says in there, once the dust settles, is when people really start to look more into it and see what's going on, and that's what the book does.
So the young boy, how old was he? I think 14. Is that what it was?
Yeah, he was 14 years old at the time. Now he's probably in his 20s now.
Oh,
so.
I'm sure, yeah. So was she really in love with him? Did she ever say, like, she really loved him? Or?
Well, a lot of it, I think it boiled down to her past experiences, because there's a little bit in there about rape. There's information about, you know, mental illness and stuff like that. And,
oh,
you know, I don't want to say too much, but,
oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, but you'll find a lot of that in there. And I guess it might give some type of explanation to why she did it. You know, and I'm not, I didn't write it in a way that, you know, I give my judgment or anything behind it. I let people judge for themselves.
Yeah, you present the truth.
Right. I basically put, you know, everything that's happened to her and everything that led up to that, and then the people can be the judge for themselves about the book. But so far, I've gotten great reviews, but yeah, there's I think there's certain things in her life that contributed to her behavior and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, so who do you think should read this book? Is it anybody, or males, females, adults, kids?
Well, I think whether you hate Deborah LaFave or you're just curious about her side of the story, you know, parents that are trying to figure out how to protect their children from an offender, or protect them from becoming an offender, you know, keep them from being victimized. I think all of those. Everybody, you know, can get something out of this book. And if people also who are in the bad situations themselves, and they need some hope in their lives, you know, somebody that's gone through something bad in their adolescence, you know, with friends, with emotional health, I'm sure they'll find some hope in this book. It's really that deep, and people are going to want to read it, you know, 2 or 3 times. I think so. Yeah, to observe all the everything that the book has to offer.
Did you think she was fairly treated after all this? I mean, I know he was underage, but like you said, there's so much that we really don't know. Why?
Yeah, well, there's. I mean, people really. I would say the majority of people were really mad that she didn't get any prison time. Yeah, and I mean, even, you know, after talking to her, she was, you know, she believed the same thing, that she should have went to prison. but she didn't. But the way I look at things, I mean, she didn't go to prison, but she did get publicly shamed, you know, all over the world.
Yeah, that's almost worse, really.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, to me, it's almost worse. I mean, I think I would rather go to prison than, to be shamed publicly like that. I mean, it's, you know, there's people these days that, you know, there's something negative online about them and they commit suicide.
Oh, yeah.
And she's managed to overcome all that and come out on top and be a stronger woman, you know, because of that.
Is she able to get through every day without people pointing, oh, that's that lady right there who did that thing?
She still gets hate mail and she still gets recognized at the store, you know, in the streets.
Oh, wow.
And there are still people that come up and say some nasty things to her. And the only thing she does is pretty much try to ignore it and keep on with her life.
That's hard.
Yeah, it's extremely hard. I know there's a few times that when I was with her, I could tell people recognized her.
Okay.
They would just stare at her and then looking at them back. And
oh, my
then they
goodness.
Just, then they just turn her away. Yeah, like,
that's,
you know,
horrible.
Which, you know, it's horrible and it's understandable at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, she became pretty much a celebrity as well for something bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, people are going to stare and, you know, and then you got the ones that are really going to go out of their way to go say something to her.
Oh, yeah. And it's so sad because from my experience with things, that the very ones are always who have the most to say about somebody, most to judge people. They have more stuff going on in their lives than
exactly.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to just be glad that our whole lives aren't on a big screen for everybody to see, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I say. I mean, we all have our faults. So we've all done something wrong. We've made bad choices in our lives. And that was another reason that I wanted to write the book is, I mean, I had my problems with the law as well. I did prison time.
You see, you understand, yeah.
Yeah, I understand going through the system and having my, you know, having to overcome adversity on my end, you know, a different type of adversity, but, you know, it was still a struggle. And so, you know, I can try to relate to people.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Now, you're an author, obviously. That's why we're talking to you.
Yeah.
Was this something you've always wanted to do growing up, be a writer, or did it sort of land in your lap?
Yeah, it was always something that I really looked forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got around to do it till this came up.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was actually going to do was write about my life. I wanted to do my autobiography.
Cool.
But then this idea came up first, and so I went ahead and started her book before I start mine next year.
Oh, wow.
But normally, I mean, I do a little bit about it, a little of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also an award-winning Latin recording artist.
Go ahead. That's great.
Yeah, well, you know, I hate to say it because it sounds like I'm bragging, but...
shout it out. I love it. Please.
Yeah, so... I do a little of everything. I sing Tejano music. I don't know if you know what Tejano music is.
Yeah, I learned from watching Selena, that movie.
There you go, yeah, Selena.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the type of music that I perform.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been nominated for a Tejano Music Award. I won a Tejano Globe Award. And so it's going pretty well. I just released a CD as well in September.
Wow, you really are busy.
I stay really busy.
How long does it take? Would you put an album together, or how did you? Was it?
Well, it's funny because I started this album. I started it back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I put out a single in 2012, my first single from that album, and it got me nominated. That's the one that got me nominated for the Tejano Music Awards, and then it earned me the Tejano Global Award as well. And things were going great, but then my mother got sick and around right after my nomination. So I decided to take some time off, slow down on the music and everything that I was doing so I could be with her 100%. And so for a couple of years, I was with her. She was with me every day. I took her everywhere with me because I also had my own company, marketing company. So I would stay busy with my company. And even to the meetings, my mom was with me. I would wheel her around in the wheelchair with me everywhere.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was funny. But I spoiled her as much as I could for her last couple of years.
Oh, that's wonderful. Give us your website.
Well, my website is www.joezuniga.com, but it's under construction right now. But everybody can find me on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Joe Zuniga Official. And they can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat with Joe Zuniga TV, like television.
Yes.
So Joe Zuniga TV. Yeah, they can find me everywhere. I mean, just Google me, Joe Zuniga, and you'll see me.
I meant to ask you, how long did it take to write the book about Deborah LaFave?
Yeah, it took me about a year. I'd say a little bit over a year. Because I stayed busy with everything else.
Yeah.
Probably would have taken me a little less, but. But yeah, I started in 2015 and finished it in 2016. And then I just recently launched it. But it took me quite a while. And it's a really good book. It's got some good pictures in it as well of me and Debbie. I call her Debbie.
Oh, well, yeah, you guys are friends. That's cool.
Yeah, she's a good friend.
I love
But she, she's a great person. She's a good mom. She actually has two little twin boys.
Oh, right. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of book covers and things. There's a butterfly. Is there a symbolic meaning to that, or is it just pretty and you put it on there?
Actually, yes, because of the whole transformation of the butterfly.
Ah.
That's the symbol behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's what she's gone through, the transformation in her life from all her experiences growing up to leading up to that situation, and then where she's at now.
Mm-hmm.
I think God's done great things in her, and just like the butterfly. And not only that, she actually raises butterflies. And she knows everything about butterflies. I mean, she can tell you any information that you want to know about butterflies. She just loves them.
See, there we go. Yeah. Something else we didn't know about her.
Exactly. Yeah. And that picture, she actually took it herself without even, we never thought, let's do a photo shoot or something. So for the book, no, it's a picture she just took of herself, and I loved it. And I was like, you know what? Let me use that for the book cover.
Oh, how about that? Wow. She's got some art in her. I could, you can see it when you look at the cover.
Yeah. And the name of the title, Crown of Beauty for Ashes, that's actually biblical.
Mm-hmm.
You can find that in Isaiah 61:3.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just read the story on that. And, I welcome everybody to go in there and read it. And that's also just that alone will tell you what you find in the book. And it's very positive. I highly recommend everybody to buy it and read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll definitely get something out of it. But, you know.
As an author, what type of I ask this a lot of, because I have a lot of authors that come on the show, and there are a lot of people that I know who are reaching out to be authors, and they always want to know, like, how does your day start? Do you have a ritual in the morning? Like, you pray in the morning? Do you exercise? You eat? Like, what do you do?
Well, I pray every night. That's my time of prayer, and Every morning I get up, I get my coffee, get my, sometimes I make me some oatmeal, and then I go for a run or a walk. And then I get back, and then I'm on my laptop. I'm on my laptop on my phone and working.
Working.
And I'm working with my publicist. I got two publicists. One pertains to the book, and the other one for my music. And it's, I'm just juggling everything from doing interviews with the book to doing interviews for music performances. I got a big concert coming up in Tampa, Florida, in a couple of weeks, and so I've been doing a lot of interviews for that. And since I'm doing interviews in like the Tampa Bay Area media for the concert, I'm also taking advantage of scheduling interviews for the book in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing both.
Wow.
And it gets hectic, but you know, it's, I love it. I love doing what I do. And I think a book is, I mean, this is my first book.
Mm-hmm.
And the experiences that I've had so far, it's just, you know, from another world.
Amazing.
It's something totally different, and I love it.
Wow, you got the dream life. That's great. You know, doing what you love to do, and you know, all of that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm working on. Some mentors that I've had in the past have always told me that, you know, once you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And that's where I'm at.
Oh, I love it.
And,
I love that.
Yeah.
So when you're not, I was going to say, when you're not writing books, what you do, but you already said that. So when you're not writing music or making music and not writing, I guess is there any more time left in the day for you? I was going to say, well, what else are you doing? But that's a lot.
It's every year, everybody, my friends tell me that I'm crazy, that I got too many projects going on.
That's
they're like, when do you rest? I'm like, man, I'll rest once I pass away. That's when I'll rest. But I do everything. I mean, I even have a marketing company. That's my, you know, it's what I've done for many years. And in addition, my marketing company does, you know, it relates to advertising and stuff like that of other businesses, products and services.
And,
so that's another thing that I do. Plus, in addition to those three things, I'm also an inspirational speaker.
Oh.
So that comes in, you know, my weekend job is the music. During the week is my company and inspirational speaking. And then the book is weekend and weekdays.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Like I just spoke at the University of South Florida a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really interesting.
Yeah. How did they turn out? That sounds really nice.
It's great. I actually love speaking. It's a little different for me because I'm so used to singing in front of crowds. And the speaking, I just started not too long ago, so it's a little bit, it's way different actually. I think I get a little bit more nervous doing that. But I enjoy it because, you know, after I speak, I get to actually conversate with some people and get their feedback on what they got out of my speaking. And basically what I do is I share my story with them. I mean, I grew up as a migrant child to a single mom, and I even went to prison for 5 years, federal prison. After prison, I got out and got my degrees in business and economics and political science, and I even studied in Europe. And then I became an award-winning recording artist, and now I'm an author. And so I share that story with you know, whoever books me to go speak to the students or other adults. And it's inspiring, and that's, you know, that's what I enjoy. If I can inspire one person, then, you know, that made my day. You know what I mean? I did something right in life.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of inspirational speakers. I'm as soon as you said it, I sat up in my chair. I love that. Man, the more you talk, the more fascinating you are. That's really great. That really is.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
So,
I'm just trying to better the world as much as I can.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. because I do some mini, I call them mini speeches here in Philadelphia with some of the groups in the area.
Mm-hmm.
About change your thinking, change your life, that whole thing, you know.
I'm not awesome.
A rah-rah speaker like, you know, like a T.D. Jakes. I wish I could.
Right.
But I'm more of a...
Well, no, I'm the same way. And that's what I tell, I think I told almost everybody that. I was like, look, I'm not a great speaker that, you know, these other guys that can speak so eloquently in front of people and stuff like that. I was like, but my story is legit and it's real and you can Google it and you can research me and I am who I am.
See, and that's what people really like, you know, because yeah. I tell you, sometimes I get tired of, you know, jumping around, sweating on the stage all over the place. It's like, okay, you've been talking for 20 minutes and you haven't really...
Exactly.
You know, but then I'll hear somebody like... Joel Osteen, very easygoing, very quiet,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
learn a lot.
Yeah. No, and I remember seeing quite a few speakers that, you know, eventually I would get bored and start daydreaming.
Exactly.
And the thing with me, I try to mix it with music too, so I also perform when I speak, and that way people don't get too bored.
Yeah, I like that. See, that's nice. You got two gifts there, you know, the music and the speaking. You can blend those together. Yeah. That's I never thought of that.
Yeah. I figured it would be something different and the people could enjoy it as well. So,
Can we find your music online anywhere or see you performing?
Yes, definitely. My music, I mean, it's if you want to purchase the music, you can find it on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify and stuff like that. Just put in Joe Zuniga, and you'll find it. But also, I mean, if you guys follow me on Facebook and YouTube and all that, you'll listen to it on there as well.
Oh.
And I'm about to release my first single in English actually pretty soon.
Congratulations.
My first country song is coming out pretty soon.
Now, is that hard to do to write a song in English if you're so used to doing it in Spanish?
Well, it's funny you say that because, I mean, as far as writing it, I don't think it's too hard. I think I'm better in English than I am in Spanish.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. And the only thing that I do sometimes mess up in is I get tongue twisted because, you know, like I could do an interview in Spanish right now and then 30 minutes later I have an interview in English. And then I start getting tongue twisted with the words. I gotta refix my brain. I was like, okay, we're doing it in English now, so rearrange everything in there.
That's funny. That really is.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like the movie in Selena. It's like, man, it's exhausting. We gotta prove to the Mexicans how Mexican we are. We gotta prove to the Americans how American we are.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
You remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, they did a very good job with that movie. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. And I actually met her in person, actually. So.
Oh, you did?
I got to meet her in person. It was real cool. She was a real
That's
sweetheart.
Really nice. Do you think they portrayed her? Who played her? Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez. Yeah.
Did they portray her?
I think she did a really good job, actually. Her personality was just like that. I mean, she was... Everybody in the world could get along with that woman. She was just a sweetheart, naturally.
Man. And the lady that shot her, is she still in jail?
Yeah, she's still in jail. Everybody still hates her.
I know they do.
Yeah, everybody hates her.
I don't want to be her.
She's got to be well protected in there because, I don't know. That was just sad, you know.
Oh yeah, the whole thing.
She was our queen in that genre of music.
How about that, man?
Mm-hmm.
We believe our time is up.
Wow, that was quick.
I tell you, bye bye so fast.
I know, right?
And I like it. It's like having a conversation over the phone. Just sit back.
And that's just over the phone. Next time I'm in Philly, I'm gonna have to stop by. We're gonna have to hang out and
yeah.
have a, have a coffee or something and
that'll
do another interview.
Oh, yes. My area that I live in is like 1,000,001 coffee shops there everywhere around here.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah, well, I'm going to have to definitely visit pretty soon. You never know, something might come up over there. I'll take a flight that way.
Yeah, let me know when you're up here. That'd be great.
Sounds good. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yes, yes. So I better, oh my goodness, I better, before they cut me off. Okay. You've been listening to It's All About You, the radio show that is, excuse me, I got something in my throat. You listen to It's All About You, the radio program that celebrates life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. I'm your host, Darian Marshall, and my guest today was Joe Zuniga, and he is author of the book, you know, I Have Devilish Monster or Angel.
Deborah LaFave, A Crown of Beauty for Ashes.
Thank you. You know, because the title of the show was Devilish Monster or Angel of Beauty, and because I wanted more people to tune in.
I know you wanted to scare some people.
I couldn't find the name of the book. Give the name of the book one more time, Joe.
It's Deborah LaFave, A Crown of Beauty for Ashes by Joe Zuniga.
Great, terrific. So I look forward to being you guys next week with another wonderful guest. And until then, and so it is. Good night.